still tidying up from the housing crisis.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, I'm Jeff Horwich. The mess left behind by the housing crisis is still being sorted out to this day to the tune of billions of dollars. This morning, we've got news of two unrelated settlements that both triggered distasteful flashbacks to 2007 and 2008. Let's go through them one by one with Marketplace's Eve Troe. Good morning, Eve.
Hey, good morning.
First, we have 14 banks settling up to the tune of $10 billion with federal regulators. And here the issue was foreclosure abuse. Tell us about what happened.
Well, basically, the government was mad back in 2011 about all the robo-signing allegations, if you remember those. And that was across all the major banks, Wells Fargo, Citigroup, Bank of America. And if you remember, it came out that they were issuing foreclosures in huge batches. They weren't examining each file like they were supposed to. The government said, you know, you guys got to go back and make sure that each of these foreclosures was actually justified. And that's turned out to be a huge expense, requiring thousands of independent consultants. So the banks finally said, okay, we'll just pay $10 billion, call it even. Now, the downside of that is that, you know, none of the homeowners who lost their homes are likely to get any amount of money that would help them get into another home again.
And separately, Eve, we have Bank of America today paying $3.6 billion to Fannie Mae. They have also agreed to buy back another $7 billion of mortgages from Fannie. What happened here?
Well, this is over mortgages issued by Countrywide, if you remember that name, which Bank of America bought 5 years ago. Now, Countrywide sold loans to Fannie Mae, and Fannie Mae says Countrywide never should have underwritten many of those mortgages to begin with. They were bad loans. This covers a period from 2000 to 2008. And what's going to happen is that Bank of America will wind up paying almost $7 billion for worthless, toxic assets. And like you said, the rest in cash to make up for the wrongdoing.
And what, if anything, can we make of these two settlements taken together?
Well, I talked to Chris Whalen at Tangent Capital Partners. He says we are getting a sense of how much it's going to cost the banks to clean up this foreclosure mess once and for all. And that's a positive. Also, he says rules on writing mortgages have become more strict to the point that he thinks a lot of banks are going to scale back on issuing them altogether. He also says it's just not as easy to foreclose on a homeowner these days.
There's a whole series of steps before you get to a foreclosure that we now have to go through with the homeowner to see if we can't help them. Modify the loan, maybe short sell them out of it if they don't want to stay in the house. But don't go just to a foreclosure the way we would have before the settlement.
So it may get us all riled up to remember some of the sins of the banks that led to the housing crisis. But he says things really are getting better.
Marketplace's Eve Troe on duty for us this morning. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Jeff.
And let's do the numbers. The reality of the next fiscal cliff-style fight may be settling in on Wall Street. So far this morning, stocks have pretty much erased their gains from Friday. The Dow at this hour is off about 0.5%, down about 74 points. The S&P 500 is off about 0.5% as well. The NASDAQ is down 0.33%. The latest corporate earnings season gets underway tomorrow. It's traditionally kicked off with earnings from Alcoa. Happy almost birthday to No Child Left Behind. The Bush-era education law turns 11 tomorrow. Its signature feature is that schools that don't meet its student achievement targets risk losing federal funding. Over more than a decade, No Child Left Behind has amassed critics from across the political spectrum, many of whom are keen for a rewrite. From our education desk at WYPR in Baltimore, here's Amy Scott.
No Child Left Behind wasn't meant to get this old. It was supposed to be rewritten in 2007.
You'd think Congress would be embarrassed at this point. That this is the longest it's ever taken to reauthorize an education law in U.S. history.
Charles Barone was the lead negotiator for House Democrats when No Child was written. It passed Congress with wide bipartisan support. Since then, the law's lost favor with both parties, but they haven't been able to agree on how to fix it. In the meantime, the Obama administration has granted waivers to many states on the law's strictest provisions. So Michael Petrilli with the Fordham Institute says there's less pressure for a rewrite.
And so for the foreseeable future, it looks like we are going to have this law in place, and any new policy at the federal level is probably at least 2 years off.
Pretty much everyone agrees No Child put a much-needed spotlight on raising academic achievement among poor and minority students. Critics don't like its emphasis on standardized tests, its narrow focus on math and reading, and what many call its unrealistic goals. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, helping individuals and businesses make their best impression where people learn about them first on the Internet. Learn more at Reputation.com. Technology reporting on Marketplace Morning Report is supported by CrashPlan, backing up the world's data from home to the enterprise, including mobile access. More at CrashPlan.com/APM.
Tonight's college championship football game pits the Alabama Crimson Tide against the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. If you want to get in the stands for the BCS championship game, yeah, you're a little late, of course. Even if you had been on the ball earlier, the cheap seats were going for $1,500. But earlier in the season, there were some more affordable options to get into the game in person. Futures options. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman explains.
Let's say you're a Notre Dame fan and you really want to see them play Alabama. Good seats, 30-yard line, you're looking at maybe $2,000 from an online broker, or pay a scalper whatever. Another option this year was to go to the game website and purchase an option to buy a ticket at face value, a few $100, if your team made the championship. Russ Calkins is an Oregon Ducks fan. In November, Ducks options were around $200.
So I would pay them $200 for the potential to buy a $500 ticket a month in the future.
$700 total, better than a couple grand later, but also a gamble. The Ducks didn't make it, so he'd have lost his $200. This market isn't much of a gamble, though, for game organizers, says Kenneth Shropshire at the Wharton School.
Here's another source of revenue taking up some of the space of scalpers and ticket agencies,
who, to look at current prices, are doing really nicely. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And finally, from Tokyo this morning, a record-setting fish story. Bloomberg News reports on the $1.8 million tuna. That's the largest price ever paid for a single fish. The tuna was almost 500 pounds, which comes out to about 10,000 pieces of sushi. The price was triple the previous record set last year. Seems there was something of a bidding war between two sushi powerhouses. The winner, Kiyomura, says it still intends to serve the sushi at regular price. I'm Jeff Horwich. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Smartphones have changed the way we do almost everything, but what about for the blind?
We'll try with this blouse, which I think is yellow-ish, probably.
Color ID, pale blue.
Pale blue.
I'm Sarah Gardner. How apps are changing life for the blind. Next time on Marketplace from APM.